Hello, welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I just want to say there's quite a few sermons on here. I encourage you to check as many as you want. I do not charge for any of these sermons, so if you hear something, write it down, use it. God gets all the glory, right? I thought about maybe putting an address, a P.O. box, eventually on this website, so if you want to send me a card of encouragement or write me a letter, the old school style, right, and I could write right back to you, I would enjoy to have cards of encouragement. I'm not asking for money, but if you feel led to provide money, it will all be used for the ministry, but I'm still praying on the P.O. box. I believe that's I'm probably going to make that happen in the next month, probably. So you guys have the opportunity to write me, especially if the internet goes down, which might go down, right? So encouragement. Like Jesus, you know, we're living in a time that is prophetic. I believe it is. And we have to stand strong. We see the darkness. We see our nation, America, and some of you guys may be listening from other countries, so you probably have your own issues. I'm pretty sure you probably do, and you probably see sin in your country or your nation, and it breaks your heart, because sin should break our heart, right? When we sin, our sins, what happens? Our sin should leave us to what? Confession and repentance, right? But today these terms they're considered offensive. But God calls us to confession, asking forgiveness, right? Repentance. God calls us to live a life that is sanctified for Him, set apart. I want to be separate from this world. A life that is honoring to Him. We should seek to walk in the light, to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But my friend, today, this false Christianity, this another gospel, believers believe they can walk in the flesh and sin as much as they possibly can and still be saved. I want to tell you, if you got this thought pattern, you are not saved. Yes, at that point, you probably clicked off. I ain't listening to them. If you die today or tonight, you will not hear the kingdom of God. This is truth. But this is a truth that is not being proclaimed today. And the goal of this website is to reach as many as possible. Not a big website, not a big reach out. But my philosophy is, if one person, or I say philosophy, my heart desire is better through the Holy Spirit. If one person is reached, that's all that matters. Why not use a website to reach people? It may not be as big as other websites, but it doesn't matter. God will use this ministry how He sees fit. Amen. So there's sermons. There's some devotionals on here. I got a few Bible studies on here. Got more sermons than anything on this website, so check them all out. If you need to reach out to me, you can email me through this website, or you can private message me on Facebook. I do not get on X or AKA Twitter or Instagram that much, but you can reach out to me that way. Some of you guys have my private phone number, so you can call me, text me whenever you need to. Any questions that you may have, if I'm not busy at work, or you know, I work maintenance, so sometimes my hands are in stuff and I can't reach the phone, I'll get to you as I can. I work a 40-hour work day, and I do preach sometimes in churches, and I teach sometimes in churches. And then during the weekend, I may be visiting events or something that's going on. They have an event this Saturday, so I'll be going to that. So I'm kind of pushing this message out tonight, Friday night. I normally preach this Saturday night or Saturday morning. And of course, you guys have been listening for a while. Thank you for your support, and support, I mean your prayers and sharing this website. So with all that said and done, let's get to this message that God has given me. Resurrection Sunday, last week. Praise God. He is risen. That should get you excited. He is risen. He is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. And man, that should be our heart cry every day. We should know that's our hope, that He is risen, meaning death, this physical death, has no hold on us. Amen, right? If I drop dead tonight, I'll be with my Father. Oh, don't cry for me. Rejoice forever, because you know where I'm at. You be sad because I made it before you did. I'm not in no more of in this, the closest as a Christian will get in this world. This is close as we will get to hell. And that's as close as I want to get to hell. And last week, I was able to do some outreach and got to pray with some people, talk to people, and reach out and just get some names and pray for them. Thank God for that weekend. And hearts were changed, and there was people that received Christ. So that's awesome. Truly, truly received Christ. But you know, I came across during the last weekend as the Joe Biden, and some of you guys may know this and may not. I don't get too much into the politics of it. Headlines pop out to me every once in a while now. I feel that we need to preach. As preachers, we need to stand against it. Joe Biden this Sunday, and this has been a thing that's been reoccurring, but so happily he had a hand in kind of pushing this and making it more blaspheming. He had a transgender day of visibility. That was what they did last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Our Christ is risen. Our nation, Joe Biden, is our leader, right? So he is the spokesman. He's, regardless how you want to look at it, he might have been fraudulently put in there. Let me tell you, God is sovereign. He was put in there for a reason. He's making a mockery. God don't take these things lightly, guys. A lot of talk about this eclipse coming. Is this a divine hand of God? I don't know. Could it be? Yes. Do we deserve intense judgment? Do we deserve the earth to shake and things to break and foundations, physical foundations to crumble and our economic to crash? Yes. Do we deserve? Yeah, we deserve all of that because we are a nation that want to be above God. So yeah, we deserve judgment, intense judgment, more than COVID, more pestilence, because of this glorification of sin, Joe Biden and his administration and those that pushes him to do this. And then I came across another article. It was a religious theme design ban from the White House Easter egg art contest. And I started reading the article. My heart just breaks when I see this. I see our nation pulling away from God, and it's been pulling away for some time now. It's worse and worse and worse. It breaks my heart. Then we start looking at America. We start looking at the inflation. We start looking at the increased violence, the pestilence, the increased weather. Man, God is trying to rattle us and wake us up. Many try to give all kind of excuses why this is happening. But let me tell you, and listen closely, we America are under the judgment of God. Churches here don't want to hear that. And if we keep tolerating this, judgment will increase more in our nation. Could this eclipse be another judgment of God? Possibly could be. I don't, you know me, I don't profess to be a prophet. I look at a lot of things. I listen to a lot of things. I read a lot of articles. It could be prophetic. Prepare yourself. It could be. Then again, it could just be another warning. God saying, hey, look at this eclipse. I'm God. I can make this stuff happen. And you know, I was curious on how many pulpits touched on this topic of Transgender Day visibility, the religious theme design ban from White House. And you know, it's impossible to listen to every sermon that was preached last Sunday. I listened to quite a few. I only found one that actually talked and preached against it. I'm like, wow. Our pulpits are silent. They're not calling this trash out. But you got churches, they have Easter egg hunts. They got the Easter bunny jumping around. They're having festivals. I want to tell you, there ain't no way to cut this or spin it or say it nicely. Business as usual needs to cease. We as the church, the true church, we need to get our priorities straight. We need to get up there and preach God's word. Stop the egg hunts at your church. Stop the Easter Bunny festival. Stop that. Preach God's word straight from His truth. Cry out. Cry out to our nation. Cry out to our people for repentance. Business as usual ain't cutting it. A Sunday day Christian ain't gonna cut it. We need Christians 24/7 on their knees in God's word. Nothing else matters. He is number one. If we don't get that, guess what? It's gonna get harder. You think it's hard now, my friend? You ain't seen nothing yet. If there's not repentance, confession, repentance in our, to cry out to God. People can't afford food. People can't pay their rent. Here in America, people can't afford good health care. And the list goes on. We're hurting. It's getting worse. Why? But guess we keep thumbing our nose up to God. Why? Because the truth of the gospel is being rejected. Why? Another gospel is being set up on top of everything else. And today I want to hit on another gospel. The title of this message this week is, do you have the truth? It's a question, and I encourage you to jot it down. Do you have the truth, my friend? We're going to start out here in Galatians 1, 6 through 12. And what I'm going to do is first pray, and then when I get done praying, we'll read through this scripture, and then we'll get into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, thanking you for this opportunity, this chance to get into your word. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you just pour through me. You guide me. You direct me. You give me the words you say. I know this message will be directed to whoever it needs to hear it. Oh, Lord, I know because you are almighty. You are all powerful. This message is not mine. It's yours. And God, you get all the glory. If one soul is touched, if one soul is changed, if somebody just comes across this and listens to it and their life has changed, I don't need to know about it. All I need to know is that you got this, God. And that person who has changed, that is radically changed, truly accepted you into their heart. And now they have a fire burning in their loins to go out there into the world and to reach them, reach whoever that you place in their path for the gospel. You get all the glory. You get all the praise, God. Lord, I lift our nation up to you. God, you know what's going on. God, all these signs in the sky, you are God. You orchestrate these signs in the sky. You put every star in orbit. Every comet that flies by. You put the planets in place. You stretch the heaven. You're the greatest artist that this world denies. And the sad truth is, this world before sin was a whole lot beautiful. But we tainted it. We marred it. Because we wouldn't listen to you. And man, God, this world's still not listening to you. This world rejects the truth and rather believe a lie. But God, give us strength to keep pressing on and being a light in this darkness around us, engulfs us. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. The title of this message is, Do You Have the Truth? Our start out verse here is Galatians 1, verse 6 to 12. And of course, you know me, I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. So as we go through this, I encourage you, as always, as I'm preaching through this, jot down the scriptures. If you don't remember any words I speak or preach or teach on, jot the scriptures down. Then go to your Bible and read these scriptures over and over and say, hey, God, help me learn more about you. And that's all it's about, learning more about Jesus. You don't have to know my name. You just have to know Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, chapter 1, 6 through 12. Paul here speaking to the Galatians and us today. He says, I marvel that ye so removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto, of course I'm reading from the KJV, so if you had another version, you'll, and I'm not against reading from other versions, just kind of grew up on the KJV. I'm thinking about going to the NKJV or the NASB, those are pretty good. I like those two. But if you're reading from the NIV, NLT, you might not see another gospel, but the KJV has another gospel, which I was looking at other translations of the Bible. Yeah, that is another gospel. You can get that same from the NASB and the NIV, the NLT, the NKJV, and the ESV. But another gospel. Verse 7 says, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are the angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you, let him be a curse. Strong words, right? As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye receive, let him be accursed twice. For do I not persuade men or God? And here's Paul, he's framing this question. He does that. And that's why I love to frame questions too, because it gets us to think. And Paul used it, Jesus used it. So, hey, Jesus, the greatest preacher ever, right? Greatest counselor ever, right? The greatest everything you could think. Why not model our preaching after him, right? And Paul, probably the second best, in my opinion, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's framing this question. He said, for do I now persuade men? I could see Paul up there. He's preaching. He said, for do I now persuade you guys? And that's how we would say it. Or all of y'all, as we would say in the country, or God. Here he says another, or do I seek to please man? Do I seek? For if I yet please man, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it by, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Understand, Paul is pointing out another gospel. He's pointing to another truth. understand truth is being attacked in Paul's time, and truth is being attacked in our times. There was another gospel then. There is another gospel now, my friend. Paul is pointing to this lie. Those in that time, they were preaching, teaching that was not the truth. They were proclaiming a lie. They were preaching another gospel. Now, there are two groups in that time, and you may want to write these down. Write these two groups down. I'm not going to go too deep into this because I feel like this message is going to be longer than an hour. I try to keep them down to an hour, but man, it's hard. But I want to tell you, jot these two names down. Do your own kind of Bible study. I'll talk a little bit about them. The first was the Gnostics. That's Gnostics. Gnostics. Now, with the Gnostics, they had two false premises. First, they espoused a dualistic regarding the spirit and matter. Gnostic assert that matter is inherently evil, spirit is good. As a result of this presupposition, the Gnostic believe, the Gnostic individuals believe, anything done in the body, even the grossest sin that you can think of, listen to this, has no meaning because real life exists in the spirit realm only. To break this down, the Gnostics would believe that you could commit the worst sin that you can imagine, but that sin would be okay in your physical body, in the physical realm, because it's not in the spiritual realm. This is what Paul was going against. The Gnostic second premises here is a claim to possess an elevated knowledge, a higher truth, known only to a certain few. Interesting fact, Gnostics, or not, gnosis means knowledge, to know, and the and they would claim to possess this higher knowledge than God's word, that they acquired from some mystic higher plane of existence. And I'll tell you, you start reading about the Gnostics, there's some crazy stuff there. They'll be warning you. But so when you look at these two premises, what Paul was going against, Paul was talking about this one group here, the Gnostics. They believe they can live life right up and it's okay because it won't spec the spiritual realm, so they can sin whatever they want. So they believe they can live in their sin. Simplifying it crazy like, but it's okay. And then the second, they believe they had higher knowledge than God's word. Intellectual, right? You think of academics and intellectuals. I had, you know, a person, my wife was trying to direct him to me to witness to talk to. Because he was trying to get my wife to run around. And my wife's like, you should talk to my husband. And then he said, and she's like, he's a preacher. And well, I try to preach, right? Yeah, teacher. He's like, no, he said, I'm in academics. And then she's like, oh, well, he has a degree too. And he's like, no, I don't want to talk to him anyway. Because that rules out academic. Short story, I was working on my master's for psychology. I almost got my master's in psychology. God stopped that from happening because that's not the path he was wanting. By now, I would have probably had my PhD in psychology and teaching at a university somewhere. But God didn't want that. God wanted me right where I'm at now. So I understand the academic mindset, the intellectual concept. The guy didn't want to talk because he didn't want to know God. Somebody truly wants to know God, they will. He would say, my wife would have gave him my number. He would have called me. We would have drank coffee like I have before, and we with others, and I would we would have talked about Jesus until nighttime, until midnight hour to the early mornings. I love talking about Jesus. It's one of my favorite topics. That's why I guess it's hard to preach an hour sermon, because I just want to preach for an hour or two. So I try to write all my thoughts down so I don't go off left, right, and left, right, and left field there. But the Gnostics, so G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics, look it up, read about the second group. And this one is more probably common. You probably heard this name because the Judaizers. The Judaizers is Greek word, comes from to live according to Jewish customs. Most of you guys already know where I'm going with this. They taught in order for a Christian to truly be right with God, he must confirm the Mosaic law, and a law that was centered on circumcision, especially was promoted as a necessity for salvation, meaning they didn't center on God's grace and mercy. Both groups, the Gnostics and Judaizers, Paul was calling them out. Now let's read that this passage again with that in mind. Galatians 1, 6 through 12 says, I marvel that you are so removed from him that call you into here the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, the grace of Christ. So he's calling out the Judaizers here, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and that would pervert the gospel of Christ. He's calling both of them out there, the Judaizers, the Gnostics. And he said, even though we are an angel, he said, even an angel, an angel that came out of the sky from heaven, if he that angel preach, and I don't, you know, he or she, how you want to look at an angel, but another gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I'll say now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye that receive, let him be accursed. For do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be a servant of God. He's calling them out both here, the Gnostics and Judaizers, especially the Gnostics here, which believing they could do whatever they want in the flesh and still profess Jesus. Another gospel, right? But I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amazing, right? Both groups perverting the gospel. Paul is going against that. They move beyond what Scripture tells us about the gospel of Christ, right? The good news. Listen to me, calling out false movements away from Scripture is biblical. If Paul was preaching our times, this message right here that he's preaching to the Galatians, to these groups, he would call all kind of names. He would be called a hater. He would be called a person that's creating division in the church. He would be called a man that truly don't understand the love of Christ. Why? Because this world today, what do they elevate as men of God? Who are the most people followed? If you look as they were professed to be men of God. Well, you look at the numbers. You look at the millions following Benny Hinn. The millions following Kenny Copeland, Stephen Furtick, Joel Osteen, Ann Stanley, Beth Moore, George Meyer. List goes on and on. They're popular. Are they teaching the truth? No. They're teaching another gospel. You're saying you're being hypocritical. No. I have actually looked into these guys, and there's a bunch of more. But we start calling them out. What happened? You're being unloving. You're creating division. No, we are warning of a false gospel. Another gospel. Not the truth. We're reaching out and trying to warn you of these individuals that are raving wolves and they want to devour you. But you choose not to listen. When we do this out of love, because we do not want to see your life. We don't see you perish and burn in hell. Oh, that's another offensive. Now, just an example, just a quick example of this. We're already in the 30-minute mark. I don't want to get into all. I could go into Benny Hinn. I could go into King Copeland. I could go into Steve Furtick, Joel Osteen. I'm not in. I'll touch briefly on a new thing with Steve Furtick. Elevation Church. They send this. And I'm reading the headline here. They sent a Easter invitation here, and the invitation here is entitled, said Steve Furtick, Elevation Church sent Easter seeking friendly invites that will omit, that means they will not include the word resurrection or Calvary. And I'm just going to read a little bit, like a little sentence of this article. It says, but here is just a bit of this article I'm reading. Christian music artist and pastor have weighed in after a senior staff at Steve Furtick Elevation Church in North Carolina revealed the megachurch doesn't use words like resurrection, Calvary, or the blood of Jesus in their Easter invitation for fear of alienating potential non-Christian attendees. Right, you have another gospel. We need to call them out. It's not unloving to call this stuff out. Paul would be calling this out. Where are the men in our pulpits calling this stuff out? Not many are. Why? Because they're lining themselves up with another gospel. When I read these kind of articles, I break. I'll look at it as a man. Steve Furtick, you are cursed. Those that are following and supporting him, you are a curse. Oh, I pray for the repentance. I pray for the confession. I don't see Steve Furtick to go to hell. I don't see those that millions are following him. Oh, I pray for his true salvation. We pray for them. But if they're supporting this, and he's worth millions of dollars because people give him money. So we can assume, right? A lot of people follow him, a lot of supporting him. In a day of digital age, they know there are people that are out there calling him out, but what? They turn a blind eye. They close their ears because they want to hear this another gospel. Because why? It makes them feel all warm and fuzzy inside. But I want to tell you, if their life is, if God said, okay, I know you've been warned, and you've been warned, and you've been warned. Time's up. Now you die. You die this physical death. And guess what? You don't get to heaven. You go to this eternal place of damnation. Everlasting torment, hell, and you're there forever for the rest of your life, burning and screaming out, and nobody will hear your scream except the demons gnawing on your flesh. Oh, that's graphic. Yes, it's graphic. Hell is worse than what we can ever imagine. That song that goes, I can only imagine what it'll be like as heaven. We can't imagine how glorifying heaven will be and how wonderful it will be. But we can't, and on the flip side, we can't imagine how horrible hell's going to be. Think the worst, and it's probably worse. Our imagination, Hollywood, is not even that clever. Even the gore that they show on TV about what they present as hell don't even come close to what hell's going to be like. Oh, why are you speaking on hell? Hey, I am hurt and I'm offended now. Well, you can be offended. Go to Steve Furtick's church. He'll help you out. I'm being facetious there. Go to Joel Osteen. He don't believe preaching on hell or sin either. Oh, what is truth, my friend? John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus tells us He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No man, anyone, cannot come to the Father, that is God. They cannot come to God except by Jesus Christ. This statement would drop kick the Gnostics and Judaizers out the back door, right? They believe more in themselves than they believe in the true God of the Bible that controls our paths. The God who holds our tomorrows. The God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The God who created this world, that stretched the heavens, that placed the stars in the sky. The God who created Adam from the ground and Eve from his side. The mighty God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, and the life. Salvation comes from our Heavenly Father, right? Who sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16-21 says, For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believe on Him is not condemned, but that he that believe not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation. Light, Jesus, right, came into this world. And men, what love darkness, Satan, rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil, what they hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reapproved. But he that do truth comes to the light, and that his deeds might be made manifest, they are wrought in God. God sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, that you and me in this world, if we will truly believe in Him, what will happen? We will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That is a beautiful promise. And we believe that. What are we believing in, right? Are we believing in the made-up version of Jesus Christ that this world has defined, like the false preachers of Joel Osteen and Steve Furtick and all their lackeys out there that wants to model their ministry after these guys? Joel Osteen, as I mentioned, he don't even believe preaching on sin and hell. Steve Furtick believes he is a god. Google it if they haven't removed it. He says in one of his sermons, and I have to listen to the reprobate once. I gotta see what the devil's preachers are up to, so I force myself to stomach through some of their sermons so often. Please, he is a God. He says, I am God Almighty. He also in one of his sermons says that God broke the law for love. What kind of garbage is that? Jesus says He came to fill the law, not to break the law. Oh, will we realize and open our Bibles and let God's Word show us that a man that's on fire for Satan, or they're preaching Satan's words and not God's Word, we should call them out. Millions, though. They don't preach the gospel. They're preaching lies. They're preaching another truth. Timothy 4:3-4 says, and we are in this time, for the time will come. We're there. When they will not endure sound doctrine. We're definitely there. It will get worse. But after their own lust shall they heap they will bring, right? It's a gathering to themselves, teachers, speaking to the people listening, having itching ears. See, these guys listening to them, they're not blameless. There's enough truth out there. It's minimizing, but there's enough truth out there for them to understand. But it don't massage their ears, their itching ears, because they want to hear it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Meaning they will believe a lie. Let me flip that scripture real quick. I typed it up and I wrote, that should be, they will turn their ears from the truth. I'll make sure that is correct. 4:3-4. Yeah. And they will turn away their ears from the truth. Yeah, I had on my notes here, I had 8 on ears, right? Ears from the truth. I was like, but they will turn their ears from the truth, and they shall turn to fables. They will turn to lies. Meaning, as closer to the time comes, more people will heap preachers like Steve Furtick and Joel Osteen. There will be a minimizing of the gospel. Some people say, oh, there's going to be a great awakening, a great revival in the end times. I believe there will be pockets of revivals throughout our nation. But I don't believe in this big revival they speak of. I get really cautious when I'm hearing, well, 1,000 people got baptized. And you start trying to look up, you know, what a church is believing, you can't find anything. Well, I'll look at salvation. Are they being taught the truth of the gospel? Are they being fed lies from another gospel? I'm just curious. I try to look at it. I try to find as much as I can on it. But these people, they're bringing these teachers, these preachers. They wouldn't be doing it unless they were making a lot of money at it. And Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, they're making millions. And man, God, His grace and His mercy is beyond what I can imagine. He is long-suffering. God could drop them dead right there. He's done it before. Think about Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, right? Lying to the Holy Spirit. But I think of 2 Peter 3:9. Said the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So that tells me there's hope for them. They're alive. They're still breathing. There's a chance for their repentance. Amen. So let's be in prayer for Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick, all those following him. Lord, we just pray for them. We don't want to see them perish. We speak truth, and they'll hate us. That's just part of the ministry. You will be hated. I'll get on that a little bit. But for now, they're still following these false teachers and preachers, and they're preaching this another gospel, another truth. So we call them out. Paul will be calling them out. Most of the apostles will be calling them out. We need to call them out, right? This is not being decisive. This is not being unloving. This is being biblical. And regardless, even when I say that, people are going to still take this the unloving and biblical, because they're biblically illiterate, meaning they're not studying God's word. They're not looking at God's word and breaking it down. Us as men of God and women of God, we just got to keep pushing, right? Keep on pushing to the end. We got to keep preaching. We got to keep teaching the real truth, right? Keep moving. Even though it's not popular, we keep pressing on. This is a war, right? Battles every day. If you're a true man or woman of God, you know and you see the lie, the false truth, the another gospel. And you will not believe a lie. If you are not part of those that want someone to tell them what they want to hear, but you're a part of those that want to hear the truth, right? Hear what you need to hear, regardless how hard it is and how uncomfortable it is. You're a child of God. All right? We love truth. We love God's word. We want his word to live inside of us every day. I want to tell you, I can't get enough of God's word. I need him daily more than anything else. More than my wife, more than television, more than music, more than me working. I need him. I need him to saturate my day every day. Hours and hours at a time. I want him. I want the breathe scripture through my life. I want my veins to flow. Scripture, God's word. Not saying I have everything right. I would love to do a lot more studying. I study as much as I can. And I promise you, I don't get everything right. And God's still working on me. I study as much as I can. One thing, I tremble when I'm handling God's word, because I wish I could study 8 to 10 hours a day to make sure I don't misquote something or say something off. And God knows my heart. And you guys call me out if I do. Correct me. I'm not beyond correction. I promise you. I'm human. I make mistakes. I can misquote. I don't want to. But what truth are you believing? Do you believe in the real Jesus Christ of the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life? There is no other way to the Father, right, to God. Jesus Christ is that bridge, that only bridge that we can cross. There's only one way. Only one way to truly be saved from our sin. Just, you know, we just came across Resurrection Sunday, right? Last Sunday. He is risen, amen. Praise his holy name. When we think of how he is risen, man, that's an amen of our soul. Why? Because physical death has no hold on us. Amen. When I pass away, if the good Lord don't come for us via rapture, and I breathe my last breath here, I'm going to my true home. Physical death, I have no fear of. None. Because I know where I'm going. Way better than here. But before we get to the resurrection, we have to talk about the cross, right? The painful experience, the agony, the excruciating offense of the cross. Our Savior, our beloved Christ, he was spit on. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was scourged to almost to death. And he carried his own beam, cross, we call, or a wood, piece of wood. Some believe it was a full cross shape. Some believe it was a beam. It's his cross. It was, and he carries this cross of Calvary. And three nails is driven and pierced his body. And he could have stopped it. But he knew this was the only way. This bridge needed to be created for you and me, my friend. He creates that bridge right now where we can come right where we are at this very moment through and say, Lord, here I am, God. I don't understand all of this. All I know is something needs to change. I know, God, that you gave your only son to die on the cross. A cross that I deserve. A price I should pay. I confess who I am. Holy Spirit, come in my life. I recognize that you didn't stay in that on that cross, and that when you were moving, you're placing that tomb. I recognize you rose from the dead, and because I know that you rose from the dead, that death has no hold on me. Come in my life, Jesus. Change me. Sanctify me. Change me. This old person, remove it. Make me new in you, God. Let me walk according to what you let. Help me through the scripture, God, to guide and direct me to live my life through according to your word. Guide me. Keep me. Press me on, God. Let your spirit burn through my loins every day. Oh, I want more of you than anything else. See, when we do this, whatever, you just reach out to God and you just say these to him right where you're at in your own language if you need to, but you recognize it. Your own language, in the sense that you recognize the cross. You recognize the resurrection. You recognize you need the Holy Spirit to burst into your life. Oh, he's holy and he's awesome. And he will change your life. John 3:16, right? 21. See, we don't. All that stuff he took on. Just not the physical pain that he had endured, but he also took the spiritual pain and the mental anguish. He took all the spiritual and the mental pain too. His suffering was so great. Truly, not one of us can truly grasp his suffering. I don't profess to know all this, but all I know is I do not deserve that kind of love. And this world does not deserve this kind of love. But Jesus Christ, right, he gave his life as a ransom for you and me. He knows what kind of person I am. He knows my weaknesses. He knows when I fall short of the glory of God, when I don't meet that mark. He knows my heart bursts when I don't. And I cry out to him. And I reach out to him. Lord, help me. Grow me, guide me, track me. Forgive me. But give me strength to not to grow and go beyond that. But we repent, right? We confess and repent. Those are not dirty words. They're supposed to be part of the salvation message. Be very weary of a salvation message a preacher preaches that don't use words as repentance. As I've talked about it through many sermons, they don't want to use the word repentance or confession, or they don't want to talk about sin or sins. They don't want to talk about hell or regeneration or sanctification. They don't want to talk about this. They avoid these topics. Oh, we have to understand that we deserve hell. But God tells us, you can have my love. God tells us, I have grace and mercy for you. See, when we look at the cross, we see the grace and we see the mercy. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace we are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Grace, right? Gives us the good things we do not deserve. That is grace. His mercy, right? Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness in which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That washing of regeneration, that is a newness that takes place. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit is him filling us and giving us strength every day to press on. That is part of it. Pressing on. We do not want our old life. See, what we're having today in many churches is a perversion of the gospel, another gospel, a Gnostics that we're dealing with, modern Gnostics, where we can live in our sin and still be saved, that we're still clinging to this old world instead of saying, God, I don't want the old world. I want you, God. I want you to change everything about me. Right? Renewing of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification. Change me. Set me apart, oh God. When we desert, when we look at the cross, we think, that should have been me up there. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy. I deserve hell. Oh, Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick churches, they won't talk about this. Because they know they'll lose majority of their congregants. They want to be motivated. They want to be entertainment. It's like they're at a football game and they're enjoying themselves. But the reality, we all, our reward should be hell. Everlasting torment forever. Pain and suffering. That makes the little pain and suffering that we experience on this earth right now like child's play. But the grace and mercy of our God tells us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we do not have to perish, what? John 3:16. And I always like to include John 3:16-21, because you get a full understanding of that text, not just a distorted version of John 3:16. That this world loves to distort. Everlasting life. Jesus Christ's bridge through His truth. Absolute truth. The truth of the cross, right? Blood that was poured out for me and you. Truth of the resurrection. When we truly come to Jesus Christ, right? And we recognize the crucifixion. The blood that was spilled and the resurrection, this does something to us. And we look at this old world, right? And we do not want what this world wants, right? Because this world is not our kingdom. The world is the kingdom of darkness. The world is the kingdom of Satan. Our kingdom is the kingdom of God, a kingdom of light. And we should understand this, right? We don't want to be like this world. We do not want to love the things in this world. John 17:13-19 says, I don't think I typed that all that scripture up. Let me flip to it. That's John 17:13-19 says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Have given them that word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Whew. Just think about that. Jesus said they have to endure. That don't preach well in today's society, in your churches. But that thou should keep them from evil. But they are of the world. If they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As I have sent me into the world, even as so I'll send them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified is one of those another words that don't get much ink and that wants to be void, because sanctification is this process of being different from the world. See, what we're having today is this perversion of the gospel, and many want to void that because they want to get numbers. They want to say, oh, I had 100 people saved today. They tell them to tell them about the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And they may skip sin and hell and say, well, God loves you. And he wants your best life now. And then they won't even talk about being a disciple for Jesus Christ, because being a Christian disciple, they go hand in hand. Being sanctified is part of the whole process. It's part of salvation. See, sanctification is not a bad word. Sanctification is a good word. If you truly are His, you want to be sanctified. If you do not want to be set apart, you want to be of this world, then you are not a Christian and you are not going to heaven. You will burn in hell if you don't repent. My. But the lies keep piling up. They're not telling that person that world will hate them. We're not doing them no justice when we try to trick them believing. When they say, oh, say yes to Jesus, aka ask Jesus Christ into your heart, and you will have no more problems. This is a lie. To be a good, true child of God in this world, when you truly come to Christ, you just increase your troubles in this world. Why? Because this world is ruled by Satan and his demons. And Satan and his demons hate Jesus Christ and his followers. What happened to Jesus Christ? Died the most horrible death that one can imagine at that time. I would venture to say even horrible to this time if you had to be crucified. Look at all his true disciples, the 12, minus Judas Iscariot. Most were killed, minus John the Baptist, tortured. John the Apostle, not the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was too. He wasn't part of the 12, but he got his head chopped off. John the Apostle, even though when you look at history, church history, or you look, they believe he was thrown in hot oil and burnt, and they try to burn him alive. And when that failed, they banished to the island of Patmos. Why do we expect to be better treated? Especially in America, we think we're privileged. That we're going to escape what is coming to America. I do not profess to be a prophet. I am just a man in love with Jesus Christ. But what is coming to America in the future is going to break the back of many to those that give lip service. Their hearts are so far from Jesus Christ. They're playing patty cake with the world and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will fit in their routine when they feel like it. I'm going to tell you this mindset. This is unbecoming of a child of God. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, you won't be playing pity patty with this world. Repentance is on your heart, right? Confession is on your heart. Being separate from this world, but also being a light to this world. I'm in this world, right? But I'm not of this world, right? God, give me strength to be your light, because my flesh, oh, how my flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But we have to crucify it, right? Oh, let's not talk about crucifying our flesh. Nobody wants to talk about picking up our cross and following Him. Jesus Christ gives us strength every day to meet the challenges that we face, to be a light and a glorification, to glorify His name among the lost. Where are we? You may not like hearing what I'm saying, because you're hearing, you're out there and you're listening to another gospel. You're listening to false truth, a lie. For many, from the mega churches to the little churches here in the woods, I promise you, Satan and his demons infiltrating them too. James 4 says, "Ye adulterous and adulteress, adulterers and adulteress, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is what? A enemy to God." I did not write the Bible, but I try to live His word, right? That's what we're supposed to do. But when you look at James' strong language, he says adulterers and adulteress. I mean, who are you giving yourself to? And that's being a little clean. Look up the word adulterer. And but who are you giving yourself to? This world, Satan, or to God? Jesus Christ? Are you giving yourself to Jesus Christ or to this world, Satan? You cannot be a friend to this world and truly be his. If you profess to be his, you will not want to have friendship with this world. But if you want to have friendship with this world, what does James tell us? You are an enemy of God. 1 John 2:15 through 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is what? Not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but what? Of the world. My friend, I hope you're hearing me. I'm saying all this not to be mean, although it will be taken that way. But if you are truly his, if you truly have the gospel, you're truly believing, you do not want to be part of this world. You want to be separate. You believe in Jesus Christ, why? You truly believe in the cross, the resurrection. You don't want to be part of this world. You want to be a light, right? You don't want to call this world your home, because this place is not our home. When we come to Jesus Christ, truly come to him, we'll be changed. We'll be regenerated. The old to the new, right? Sanctified. I mean, we are set apart. The Holy Spirit comes in our life and he changes us, right? Now you want your life to match up with God's word. You want scripture to guide your path. You want the Holy Spirit, to direct your steps. And you may say, I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that. I'm saved. I'll do whatever I want. That's what my preacher told me. I can sin all I want because God loves me. He understands. I want to tell you, have another gospel, another truth. If you died tonight in that mindset, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But hell will be your destiny. You do not have the true gospel, the true truth. And the title of this message, closing this out, do you have the true gospel or another? Do you have the true gospel or another, my friend? We looked at the Gnostics. We looked at the Julianizers. And I encourage you to go back, but when you look at the Gnostics, what were they doing? They were believing, living their best life now. Living it up. They believed they had greater knowledge than the Bible. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like our world we're living in right now, right? I want to do me first, and everybody second. Oh, God's word is whatever. We don't really care. It's just a book full of fables and tales. We're more progressive than that. That's out of date. See, the devil operates. He may twist it a little bit different, but it's the same lie. Distortion of God's word, another gospel. Then you look at the Judaizers, which believe that they can work for their salvation. They believe in the Mosaic law. They neglect grace and mercy. You take that and you look at our environment today. And, you know, I really view myself as a person, as America, as a missionary field. I believe we need missionaries, those that are truly underground preaching, to come over here and preach the gospel. Tell the horrible stories in China. I've read stories in China. It breaks my heart. They're suffering greatly. We, as Americans, we don't truly understand suffering yet on that magnitude. But I believe if we keep neglecting God's word, we will understand that on one way or one magnitude or the other. But there's this neglect. When we look at the culture, right? You look at Steve Furtick. I was talking about Steve Furtick and Joel Osteen. The reason I mentioned these two names, they are what I would call the big players. When you look across many those guys, and then of course you got Benny Hinn and Kenny Copeland, and those are pretty big hitters too. But you see Joel Osteen and Andy Stanley's coming in there too. But man, the list goes on and on. But you know, Joel Osteen, Steve Furtick. The reason I mentioned Joel Osteen is the man don't preach on hell. He don't preach on sin. If you're listening to his message, I encourage you, if you don't stomach it, listen to one of them. It's a motivation speech that he gives. He uses a scripture as a platform to where he, I guess, he can legalize and say, to be able to put the title that he's a pastor by using one scripture and then going off with this new age garbage that comes out of his mouth to motivate people. Steve Furtick does a similar. Maybe they might do one or two now, but they do the same thing. Be cautious of preachers that don't center in God's word. Through this message, I probably gave you 6, 7. A lot of times I don't even count. Maybe 10 scriptures. Maybe more. These guys, they're in a month time, probably won't even give that many out. And it's sad. Why? Because they have another gospel. And there's people that they're loving how they speak, and they're harping them up. And we are in those days where they will do that. They will not endure sound doctrine. What? But they will believe a fable. They will believe a lie because they choose to. I believe God is reaching out to them people. Great platforms today. Most people have this little phone that's like a computer that you can YouTube anything. I believe they're hearing stuff, but they neglect to listen truly to it. They close their ears and instead they say, hey, you know what? You're preaching hate. And it's all about love. And we point to scripture. Oh, we don't like that. We don't want to hear that. But we preach the truth. We point to passages like James. And the initial passage that we started out, right? Galatians. And when you do the studying, Paul is calling out people that perverting the gospel. America would not like, people say, oh, I wish we had a Paul around. Maybe you do have a Paul around. You neglected him, a Paul that speaks the truth, and you choose not to listen to him. You deplatform him. You kick him out of your churches. You don't want a Paul because he will be rejected. Because what? He called out false gospel, the perversion of the gospel in Galatians like 1:6-12. He talks about being a curse. He says even an angel that comes from heaven that preaches another gospel, right? Let him be a curse. And then he posed, for what do I do? Pursue man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I please man, I should not be a servant of Christ. He said, if I'm here to please you, to motivate you, to entertain you, and tell you everything you want to hear, everything in the sun, that you go have your best life, and God will give you everything you hope, you desire, and you want that boat, you're going to get it. If you want that car, you're going to get it. You want that house, you're going to get it. Oh, God's going to give it to you because he loves you so much. I want to tell you, they're doing that because people hear it, and they love to hear it, and they want to believe that lie. But I'm going to tell you, if you're believing that lie, you don't want to hear the true gospel where Jesus speaks on hell. He speaks about sin, and his true apostles, his disciples, truly preached on hell and truly preaching sin. Listen, if you want the true gospel, you have to understand that we deserve hell. We deserve eternal damnation. We do not deserve the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. We do not deserve the sacrifice that He given to this world through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that take away the sin of the world. We don't deserve that. We deserve darkness and burning in flames. But through His Son, He tells us, I have created this bridge, for He is the only way, truth and life. No one can come to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. A one bridge. And when we come to the Father, right, we gotta go through Jesus Christ, and we have to recognize the sacrifice. He became a curse on that tree for our sins. He became the sin of the world on that tree. Other than His body being physically beaten, God's Word tells us He was unrecognizable. He was unrecognizable. I mean, He could not recognize. His own mom couldn't recognize Him. Beaten, spit on, mocked, scourged, flogged, right? Blood loss, tremendous. Carrying this cross, this beam, up the hill of Calvary. To be nailed on, to have His body pierced. As He was up on that cross after being beaten and laying there dying, asphyxiating, trying to get His breath, He looked down at those that done this horrific, horrible torment to Him. And He prayed over them. See, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve that kind of grace and that mercy. But He extends it. He's long-suffering. He gives us that grace and He gives us that mercy. I thank God for that grace and mercy. That grace is giving what we don't deserve, right? Mercy is sparing us from what we do deserve. He gives that grace and that mercy. And when we truly get that love, that grace and mercy wrapped in that love, there's a transformation in our life that everything else in this world can go bye-bye. Can go bye-bye. The Holy Spirit comes in our life, right? The regeneration, the renewing, this daily walk with Jesus Christ. We keep pressing on. We put Him as priority in our life. We don't put Him as second, third, fourth. If God fits in our life, we'll make it happen. Oh, my friend, if you're doing that, you need to get on your knees and repent. Because something serious wrong with you. Depending on how you want to look at the coin, you know, the whole debate if you were ever saved or you forfeit your salvation. I don't care at this point in time if you're in that state where you don't care to repent and confess. I don't care if you were saved and you're not saved no more. I don't care if you ever were. At that point in time, your destination is hell. You need to get on your knees and you need to seek God and say, here I am, God. But you say, oh, I don't want to do that. I can't do nothing for you at that point. Only pray for you. If I knew your name, I'll pray for you. I'm going to pray as I pray out, I'll pray for you. You might say, oh, I don't need to repent. I don't need to ask for forgiveness. I don't need to confess. That's old way of doing things. You have another gospel. God calls us to repentance. God calls us to confession. We recognize how sinful we are in our life, and we're not okay with that, because we strive, and when we wake up in the morning or the night, wherever shift we're working, our goal in our mind is not to go out there and to sin. Our goal is to get out there and to be a witness to Jesus Christ and to live as close to as we can to the cross, and that we sacrifice that flesh, right? Every day, meaning we do not strive to go out there and sin. We strive there to live different from this world, because why? We are truly His. We do not want to look like this world. We do not want to smell like this world. We want to have a different kind of smell about us. Oh, a sweet aroma, right? Flowing from us. Oh, we need that aroma. We're missing that. Why? Because people want to blend into this world and look like this world. And we need truly a true revival of us not looking like this world and truly coming to Christ, right? We need to get the true gospel and recognize we are supposed to live a different life from this world. We are separate from this world. This world will hate us. So be it. We still tell them about Jesus Christ. If they spit on us, if they beat us, we still tell them about Jesus Christ. Oh, you just went too far. If we get thrown in jail, so be it. We still tell them about Jesus Christ. We recognize the cross, right? We recognize the resurrection. We recognize the renewing, the Holy Spirit coming in our life, renewing our life, right? This walk, this sanctification of our life every day to be more like Jesus Christ. That is the part, that is part of salvation, right? People want to skip that part because you are saved. You want to be more like Jesus. How did I become more like Jesus? Start reading in Matthew and work your way to John. Do a deep study of the four Gospels. After 2 or 3 years of studying them deeply, writing notes, memorization, maybe 4 years, go to the epistles. Study them the next 4 or 5 years. That's how you learn to walk up to be more like Jesus, through His Word. And the Holy Spirit gives us strength to do that. But if you're wanting to be part of this world, then you're going to have problems. Because God's Word tells us clearly that is contrary. You will love this world or you will love God, but you can't serve two masters, right? I pray today that you have the true gospel. You have the true gospel. And if you have another gospel, I pray that you just look at it. Go back through these scriptures. Jot them down. Study and pray over them. Pray to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people don't talk about praying to the Holy Spirit. We can pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide me and direct me. I didn't like what Jonathan Ritter said, and I really hate him right now. The only thing you're hating is Jesus. We're just messengers. That's all. There's nothing special. If you walk through a normal day of me, you will see there's nothing special. Just a man that's truly in love with Jesus Christ, and that any opportunity I get to tell somebody about Jesus, I jump all over it. And we definitely went over our mark. But today, I just want you to ask yourself that question. Do you have the true gospel? Are you living another one? Another gospel. Do you have the truth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just close this message out, I pray for those that may be listening to this, God. I pray over their situations, their circumstances. I don't know who will listen to this. All I know is this will reach whoever you need it to reach. God, and I pray as they listen to this, God, they examine their life. They truly look at Scripture and say, and start reading. And start studying your word. A hunger for your word more than anything else. And God, we pray over these mega pastors. Steve Furtick, Joel Osteen, Annie Stanley, Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer, Kenny Copeland, Benny Hinn, Clef Dollar, Steve White. God, we pray a repentance in their heart. We know if they would repent. They may not have as many followers, and they may not be as famous and rich, because these messages don't sell. But at least people will see the old way they were preaching and a change, and recognize there's something changed, and there's something different about it. What he was preaching is different. It's different. It changed. He's pointing to Scripture more. He's talking about hell. He's talking about sin. He's talking repentance. And if one life has changed from that, it's all worth it. And if one life has changed from this message, it's all worth it. God, we pray for those that may be experiencing pain and suffering in their life. They may be experiencing the isolation, the depression, the anxiety that's gripping in their life right now. God, we pray over them right now. We pray through their trial they're going through, God. And they may be facing financial hardship. God, we lift them up to you. This world can be painful. It could bring us to our knees. But God, you give us the strength to have peace within each trial that we will face. Help us, God, to press on. As darkness keeps falling on this world, we pray over our nation. We pray over our leaders. We pray for Joe Biden and his administration, God. We pray, Lord, that even if it's on their deathbed, that they will confess the name of Jesus Christ and be saved. If they truly mean that in their heart and they truly believe it and they recognize the salvation message, what it is about the transformation of one's life. And man, all we can think is about the thief on the cross, right? The deathbed confession. When he said he asked for forgiveness, he recognized that thief on the cross, one of them, recognized the error of his ways. And Jesus said, you will be in paradise with me. It can happen. Deathbed confessions can happen. God, we pray over the administration. We pray for them, God. We pray over our nation. Lord, I know it's hard. It's hard for me to pray over these individuals, because when I look at them, when I read stuff they're doing, it's just evil. But I know as long as they got breath in their lungs, you're long-suffering. I am not God. You tell me to pray for those that empower. You tell us to pray for those that despiteful use us. Tell us to pray for our enemies. And this is intense and this is hard, but we lift them up to you, God. Lord, I pray as we close this out, God, that you guide us and direct us through the weekend, through the week, through the weeks, through the months, through the years. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. We definitely went over our hour mark, but that's all right. I actually missed doing the sermon last week because I was at the crosswalk. We did a crosswalk. That was the little event I was telling you about. A church. We had 38 churches carrying a cross for Good Friday, and we did that all day long, pretty much. And there was witnessing going on, praying, and I can't count how many people I talked to. It was a lot, and prayed for, which was beautiful to pray for people, and many people I talked. We just talked and talked, and pain, and praying for their pain, and witnessing and telling them about Jesus. Man, it's awesome. I love doing that. I love doing the street thing. It kind of feels like my home is to go out there. I love preaching on the streets and reaching people on the streets. But if you guys have any questions about this sermon, or any other sermons on this website, you can always reach me through this website. It's on the homepage. If it goes, I encourage you to write Crucify for Christ Ministry, just in case it goes into junk mail. And I check my junk mail once a month, so I'm doing a lot of deleting. So if that title's there, I'll be able to pick it up. The other way to get through me is Facebook. You can private message me through Facebook, mention the ministry. I can add you to my friends. I have a private group on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter, X, or Instagram that much, but you can reach me that way. Some of you guys have my private phone number, so you know who you guys are. Y'all can message me that way with any questions that you may have. I work 40 hours a week on a regular job, so I'll respond as quick as I can. Most of you guys know I'll try to respond within that day. Any questions you guys may have, any thoughts you may have. Small ministry, so it's just me, so be patient with me. I don't have no secretary. I don't have a group of people answering my emails. Or I know a lot of them preachers do have that, and I don't say shame on them for that. Because that's basically their, some of them guys, that is their job, is to be a pastor, and that's what they get paid to do, to preach, to teach, and respond. And they say, well, that might be too exhausting. Well, then get out of the ministry then. It can be exhausting. Or get you some people that are like, that you can trust, that are communicating correctly with you, to say if you have 10,000, I can understand if you have like 10,000, 20,000, now I'm just rambling, 10 to 20, 30,000 people trying to text you in one day, which I can imagine that many people texting you. That's crazy. They probably shouldn't need your home phone number for that. Probably need to email you through your private ministry on that one, or your ministry, and not your cell phone. But you guys have a good week, weekend. Pray that your week goes good. Pray that with this eclipse, everything is, who knows. Maybe something bad might happen. Maybe it's just another warning from God for us to wake up with no major catastrophes or whatnot. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.